Blog Talk Radio.
Keep on believing. Keep on believing. Keep on believing.
If you praise him his name, yo, your hands up. Throw your hands up. Throw your hands up. In order to play the game, throw your hands up. Throw your hands up. Throw your hands up.
Put them down, now look what I found. The son of man, I'm solar bound. The number seven, I'm heaven bound. For reading his scripts, I got the sonship. Used to doubt his words, and I flipped the script. Now I get his love, mercy, power. Every second, minute, hour, and now I know how a man could be so grand. Once you surrender, throw up your hands.
If you praise him his name, yo, your hands up. Throw your hands up, throw your hands up. In order to play the game, throw your hands up.
What?
Throw your hands up.
What?
Throw your hands up.
What?
Looking for a change,
throw your hands. You could go from grieving to achieving when you keep on believing.
Keep on believing.
What?
Keep on believing.
No matter what you're going through, just
keep on believing.
I know it gets hard and everything, but just
keep on believing.
Come on. You got more faith than that. You gotta keep on believing, you know what I'm saying? Let's go.
Keep
Let's
on believing.
Running game, no tricks up my sleeve. I just call his name, have faith, believe. You might take a fall, get up, achieve. Get back in balance, use your talents. Let your oil burn, your light shine. Fast forward, forget to rewind. Leave the negative people behind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can go from grieving to achieving when you keep on believing.
If you praise him his name, yo, your hands up.
Emmanuel, Kimani Emmanuel, telling you to throw your hands up and keep on believing. So how is the African family and how are the children? You've got your Omi Inca 7 live coming to you straight from my studio. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you. I am your advocate and I am your Mali Watu. So I'd like to thank you for entertaining this opportunity on a Friday evening. We are featuring our all-new feature show under Oracle Readings. As you know, the advertisement has changed a little bit of a difference of image and displays there. As you see the comedic woman there, I'd like to welcome each and every one of you to our feature show. And today we're going to be talking about how do you become a professional development specialist? And we're going to divide that topic up, and half of the show is going to be talking about professional development, and then we're going to go into values for the African-American family and how are values acquired and are we still operating under slave values. So we're going to get right into our topic. And we're going to take a short, brief break, and we're going to come back at you in the atmosphere. So stay tuned, and we'll be right at you. Stay tuned. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now preparing for our libation. And if you'd like to be involved in that libation, we're going to be pouring our libations to the east, to the west, to the north, to the south. And as we pour the libations, we're calling on Oladulamare. We're calling on Yamanye and Obatala. Join us as we do our meditation. Ladies and gentlemen, we offer up a prayer today for the family. We call all those family members who are represented here today by their families, because families need to be lifted up. We call them into place today, and we ask for a special blessing for all that are present here today and for all of those who are not present here. We call on our ancestors and ask our ancestors to join the greater circle. And we ask for a blessing for everyone's family today in the name of Oladulamare, and we say Ashe, Ashe, Ashe. Thank you. We have not been doing our libations on account of time, but I wanted to get that in there for you. And I want to go right into the topic. What is a professional development specialist? And how does one become a professional development specialist? And what are the duties and responsibility of a professional development specialist? Now, last week we talked a little bit about what avenues you can venture out into for your CDA credential. What other topics can you talk about, or what other professions can you go into? Today we're going to talk about professional development. The professional development is a new term that just came about. Previously, before the professional development term for the council, there was the advisor and the representative. The advisor's responsibility was initially to assess the candidate for CDA credentials and, to collect those documents from the portfolio. However, the representative would actually give the multiple choice test at one time and the oral test, and they would actually take those documents of the portfolio on to the council. So the actual advisor mainly did the assessment and completed that tool. So since then, they have combined those responsibilities into one, in addition to some mentoring. So a PD specialist is mainly a mentor, one who would sit down with the candidate, inquire about their goals and objectives, short-term and long-term, and they would, first of all, do the assessment in two different environments of assessing that student for about 3 hours total in their environment of infant and toddler preschool area or family child care or in a group setting of a center. Those tools will be used by the professional developer who would assess this candidate. And upon completing the paperwork, the candidate would complete her portion, and then the PD specialist would complete her portion of the assessment, and that assessment tool would be sealed and forwarded on to the counselor. And the PD specialist would spend some time talking with the candidate. That's the new additional aspect, where they would spend the time talking to the candidate to inquire about their goals and objectives and their future plans for working in the profession. So a little bit has changed in the line of the responsibility. And as a PD specialist, I'm going to talk to you from a perspective of a professional development person. There are categories out there for people who work in curriculum and instruction who do professional development. Now, this has nothing to do with the council. We're talking about someone with a master's degree in curriculum and instruction who is performing the duties of a professional development specialist. There is certain days of the year that they acknowledge professional development as a celebration near the month of June. These holidays are where they offer the classes for professional development, and they offer these classes as a celebration for that particular particular credential. Now, curriculum and instruction candidates have to have a master's and be a master teacher. So, of course, they have to understand curriculum, how to complete curriculum, how to put various different programs together for curriculum, such as technology across the curriculum or reading across the curriculum. They have to be able to evaluate curriculum, make decisions on what is appropriate and best practices in curriculum. So they work very heavily with the administrators and with the teachers in implementing curriculum. And curriculum specialists are needed throughout the military regime, in the Air Force, the Navy, as well as in the Army. And these candidates work with the government on official orders and official tour as they go in and make sure that all of the child development candidates have their necessary continuing education training and that they're up to date on all of their training and that they do become credentialed in the CDA or bachelor's degree in child development. So the curriculum specialist would monitor who has completed their credentials, who is still lacking their credentials. A curriculum specialist would go into the home and evaluate the home and making sure they're up to standards, making sure that they've done self-assessments and testing of their own facility, making sure that they meet the specs and regulations of the government as well, and providing a training curriculum for them and a time set when they would take these classes either at the college, extension college, or within the actual center and within in-house training. And the curriculum instructors would monitor all their training and keep their books up to date and would then make sure that everyone was licensed in those areas of CPR, not only CPR, but they would also have something with the actual understanding of the emergency medicine and how to use their CPR, as well as the Red Cross endorsement, making sure they were up to date with their license on that, and their airborne and food product classes that they would have to take. So there's a number of continuing education that goes on constantly for all of these workers to make sure they're up to date. And as a curriculum specialist, they would be responsible for that responsibility. Now, a lot of teachers who come out of the early childhood arena in the area of CDA or bachelor's degree go on to get further training to become training curriculum specialists. Now, there's another avenue of the child care, and that is the director's license. And directors have to have specialized training, which is somewhere in the neighborhood of 90 credit hours or 45 credit hours that they obtain through training and development so that they can become a licensed director. And a licensed director is more of an administrative job. It is not a caretaker's job. It's one where they utilize the skills in running the day-to-day operation of the child care center. So it's very vital that you should, you know, understand the schematic of how this works, because I'm an elementary school endorsed teacher as well as early childhood. So one of the reasons why I know this information is because I've spent many years in the arena of working with the child care setting as much as I have in the elementary, because normally these jobs are after hours and we're adjuncts where we work for colleges and we go in as an adjunct. So therefore, we get to understand the makeup of the child care center and the necessities of licensing and credentialing those teachers so they can stay actively in their jobs. Because without their credentials, they can no longer work without credentials as head teachers and assistant teachers. And soon they will require that every director have their bachelor's degree, not just only a CDA credential, which is equivalent to a two-year associate, but it is a diploma. And they will require more of those directors because more and more is beginning to be required for them to complete certain forms and applications and grants and funding, and they have to be highly trained and informed. So For those of you who would like to go on to become a PD specialist, you definitely need to go and look online to see what the criteria are for applying for that credential. There's also a training area. If you are a trainer and you offer those 120 clock hours or offer hours in general to child care workers who are doing continuing education hours or renewing their CDA license, if you are a trainer, you can offer these clock hours online or face-to-face, and you would be an agency that is licensed by some particular agency or state so that you could offer these hours with CEUs or clock hours. And the trainer, now it has become a conflict of interest for the trainer to assess the same candidates that they have taught. In the past, it was possible to teach the same student and then assess the same student, but no longer is that possible. It's a conflict of interest, and your training applicants cannot be the same students that you assess. Now, it's very vital, as trainers know, some of those adjuncts who have been at the college might want to write their own curriculum. They might want to come up with their 120 clock hours or more of coursework that they want to offer to those teachers that meet the requirement for CDA with the 10 credit hours or 10 clock hours in those 13 competency areas, so that you are meeting the criteria of the council. Your curriculum has to be sound so that every one of those 13 competencies are included within your coursework. Now, for those of you who are using your PD specialist to do training and development in other areas such as the hospital, training and development people are not germane or exclusively to child care. Some training and curriculum specialists, they do adult education for GED. Some of them also do training and development for mental health agencies or training and development for hospital settings such as coding, ICD-9 and CPT coding. So you're not limited to just child care. You are available because you're a trainer to go and look at curriculum in other arenas to introduce the curriculum to staff members and departments. So there is some cross-referencing of training that goes on with the training of the trainer. Now, I encourage those who are CDA candidates who have advanced themselves and have worked in many different capacities who are interested in becoming a PD specialist to look into how do I become a PD specialist if I only have a CDA credential. You definitely want to look at the schematic because there are some criteria that you must have a master's degree or bachelor's degree, and there's criteria that you must meet for the council in order to be a PD specialist. You just can't walk in, and there is some testing that you have to take for assessment as well. So it's very vital that in the area of those students who have a bachelor's degree and would like to further their training in the area of training curriculum, that is open for you because, like I indicated, you are not just limited to working with child development, but a whole host of other areas of training. Now, yesterday I talked to you a little bit about the fact that when you look at CDAs, it's not just to work in the capacity of a child care center, in a family child care or center. There are other avenues such as the hospital, in neonatal, and also in child life specialist area, working with sick children in the hospital. Of course, you're going to have to be credentialed, and there's only a few schools that give that endorsement. Purdue University was one of them that when you finish your training, you were eligible for a child life specialist. And a child life specialist worked directly with the child, preparing activities in the hospital for the child under the play area. So this area of child development is a big business now. A lot of women go and own their child care centers, and they also teach for their centers as well. And there is a lot of opportunities for trainers to work in the military sector which is so badly a shortage in. There are not enough training curriculum specialists who actually are doing the jobs. And at one time, they were offering a stipend to those who made referrals to the military about candidates who were credentialed and had a master's degree and training curriculum specialists, because there was such a great need for someone to monitor the people's training in the area of GS-7s and up. So there were a lot of other areas that training curriculum specialists could also monitor other departments' training and development. It's not exclusively to child development. However, my job was exclusively in the military to child development for monitoring their training and development. And that is why we decided to bring in-house training and development right there on the base of the military, so that those candidates who are enrolled and who are working during the day could go right in the same building and continue their education while they were at work. So I would like to say that for those of you who are advancing yourself in the training capacity and you know what it's like to offer training of the trainer and you have a desire for it, then that is definitely a possibility for you. So I'd like to say, if you have any questions, please jot them down on our blog talk at the bottom there, and you can indicate what your questions are. Now, I'd like to go into our other part two topic of looking at family and the values for the black family and just what is happening to the values of the black African-American family. Now, I'd like to say this for the record, that I am very interested in what happens in the black family, because I, too, have a black family. So quite naturally, I would first address my own family, then try to act as if I knew all the answers for some other nationality's family, which I don't know, because I do not make up another nationality's family. So I'm first interested in the African-American family, of course. And I'm gearing this to the African-American family. So for those of you who are non-Melanite people and you want to say that's not how we do it, I am only speaking and addressing the African-American family. Now, values have become a great, great component for the geographical makeup of the corporations. As you know, corporations are gearing their organization more towards family style. However, there must be a standard of some sort. And from what I've been gathering, a large portion of those corporations that are in the northern suburban area, such as, let me give you a case in point, a hypothetical situation, such as in the northwest suburbs of Illinois, that was the hub of corporate entities relocating to the northwest suburbs of Illinois, meaning that they were gaining large sums of families from around the world who were engineers and who were technicians, mathematicians, and these professionals were coming in from families of a number of different racial backgrounds, one being Chinese and Japanese. So a number of customs and traditions and values were coming in that were different from the European or different from the African American. And the high standards that were coming in from various different Asian families tend to be the ones that were catered to the most. And with a diversified group, it's easy to service a number of different values, but we do have to set a standard. So as we look at the standards for African American, they have become wayward, and they have actually evaporated and changed quite a bit from the norm. And that is because media has set the pace and has changed our philosophies and values quite a bit. Now, what are you talking about, Omi? What I'm saying is that when black people have family values and have a standard and go away from their values and standards to appease what the general norm is accepting and what they are being embraced with, then you find a corrupted foundation in the families. And families have to be aware of this primarily because the media is setting the pace for what it is you are to believe. Let me give you a few cases and points. As some of you can think back, African Americans, you know that a lot of us were brought up under the auspices of the church, and a great deal of us were brought up with certain standards that we did not deviate from. However, you have a number of people who are trying to engulf the good life, so to speak, and the good life usually means going outside of your boundary lines, and it usually means going into someone else's culture and adopting their values. I want to caution those who are engaging in embracing someone else's culture. Number one, I want to talk about families who become well-to-do and who no longer use the values of their mothers and their fathers, and they are allowing their children to stray away from those values and gender persuasion. It's very vital that we should set the pace for our youngsters as to what is appropriate and what is not appropriate in their gender. It's very important that we should take certain movies that come on or sitcoms and sit down with our children to go over those, figuring out what is wrong or what is right or what is acceptable in our households. But instead, we tend to allow our children to view these movies on their own, and they go away with opinions of their own, or they sway their opinions that you've taught them, and they completely abandon all of their opinions altogether. It's very important that we should not let people determine what is the makeup of a nuclear family for African American if there is only a child and a mother in a home, that is still a family. And I think I preached this once before. It does not take a nuclear family with the child, father, and mother to make that a family. Because in the time we were in slavery, there were never any fathers in the home because they were used as studs. And most of the women were in the home along with the children. And it was still, I repeat, it was still considered as a family. Now, the values is what are different. There was just certain things that we just did not do. No matter how many people in the media were talking about doing them, it was just certain things that we didn't venture into because our particular faith would not allow us to branch into that. Now you're dealing with a lot of people who do not have a makeup of a faith or religion or belief. And we're embracing a lot of people that have atheist beliefs, and we're thinking they have the solution. And we don't even ask where they get their philosophy from. We embrace what they're teaching, even though we might know that they're atheists. Now, what do you mean, Omi? To each his own, you can believe what you want to believe, and you can worship any god you want as long as you develop some form of values and standards. But here lately, people have gone away from standards and values. They just think every and anything goes wrong. There are a set of standards that you must continue to raise up and lift up in your households and your families. We've got too many young people who are talking about changing their gender, changing their sexual preference, and too many children talking about going away from their grandmothers and grandfathers' ideas. You don't go away from granny's ideas. You don't go away from grandpa's ideas. What was good then is good now. You use them as a basis so that you have a balancing act so that you can learn from their experiences so that you don't have to suffer the same consequences that every other child is suffering from testing the water. You must understand that the values that we set for our women, They are not to engage in sexual intercourse at an early age. They are not to venture off into dating by themselves without a chaperone. It's important that they must explain to their significant other that they're dating, that they are remaining a virgin because they have, their parents requires this of them, and they want to honor their mother and father, and while they're in their mother's and father's house, they want to be respectful and not be persuaded to be someone who is adventuresome and going out and exploring sex. It's nothing wrong with a young girl telling a male that, because those are the rules of the house. And when you're in the house, you obey the rules. This is what was taught to us. And there was 11 girls that had to follow this regimen. And I think if we set a standard and start talking about a standard, then young people will know that there is a standard. But when you just go off and say, do what everybody else do, the road to destruction is wide, but the road to peace and understanding is narrow. But it's very vital that we should understand that Beyonce, Jay-Z, and all the singers that come on, that our children listen to these, and they become their idols, and they become their role models, and we look at what they have to choose from. It's okay to listen to the music, but when mother tells you to do something, you have to honor your mother and father. You have to understand that the things on the screen that we're seeing are not always what happens in a black household. Black people are struggling now. And they're having to do a whole lot to make ends meet. And that means when we were coming up, our money didn't belong to us. We came home and brought that money and stockpiled that money into one account, and we all benefited from that money. You've got too many children working in the household who are not paying any bills, who are not assisting mother with any of the raising costs of the electricity, the water, the sewer, or garbage pickup. You got children who don't have responsibility in the house, who are not responsible for certain chores. That shouldn't be. Lift up a standard in your house, mother, and develop chores for every one of those children. And understand that in my house, as for me in my house, we shall serve the Lord. And you lay down the standard, and you tell every child that's leaving your house, I don't care how far you go and how big you get, you will still be looking up to me, and you will still praise the Lord, and the Lord will be the head of your life. And as you lay down a standard in this child, that child will be careful when he gets in trouble to reach back and draw from that standard. So why aren't standards preached in the household? Oh, no, that's old-fashioned. Let a child find out on his own. That's why too many children are finding out on their own when it's far too late, and then they cannot see their way out of a situation. Families, black families, were always laying down standards. We always knew the answer. We were the ones that civilized the world. So why have we become so backwards now and trying to please the Joneses and follow all of the replicant things on the television screen and live like the Joneses? You can't live like the Joneses. You can't afford to. You don't have enough stability financially to pay your way out of things. You must understand a Caucasian household will not be ran like yours. That child in a Caucasian house is usually born with a silver spoon. Either grandmother or grandfather has left him an estate, and he has a different way of life. You cannot live the same lifestyle that they live. So in a black family, you stockpile funds. You become communal. You are in a communal setting. Everybody in the community is responsible for you as a child, and that's how we used to do it. No longer will parents chasing other children, other parents' children, because they're fear of them being afraid that they're going to say something. We did not care if another mother chasing our child, because we knew she was chasing in him for the best, for the betterment of that community, because we were all somebody's child. Now, what has happened to the stay-at-home mothers? You got stay-at-home mothers who are ashamed to tell somebody that they stay at home. They are workers, and in other countries, they're paid for staying at home raising their children? Why can't we pass a bill for those mothers who stay at home to get off welfare and to pay them for staying at home and give them a check, not welfare, a bona fide check? Right in Europe, in Germany, those mothers are paid additional bonuses for having more children. The more they have, the more money they get. It's a form of welfare, yes, but they're paid a decent salary to call it a livelihood. Stop giving our mothers on welfare tiddlywinks and saying, you're getting a check. That's not a check. If they increase the minimum wages up to $10, pay them $10 an hour for being stay-at-home parents and show them how to go back to classes and demand that they go back so we can create better households and better trained stay-at-home moms. As they learn to stay at home, they learn to breastfeed, and they give their child the best years of their life with the best chances of staying free from diseases because they're getting breast milk. So if we do this and we change the household, we won't have to lock up so many children and put them in prison, because we can breed children who are not imbeciles. We can breed strong-minded children who are getting breastfed and who are not drinking homogenized milk. And if we had the understanding that when you raise up a woman, you raise up a nation, then why are we not doing nation building and setting standards and values for our household? Women, you got to do something about this. Nobody cares if you do the bounce on the bounce dance all day and eat bonbons and watch soap opera after soap opera. You've got to set up standards in your house to have better families. And even if it's just you and your boys or you and your girl, you are a family. You must have standards in your house. Don't wait till you get a man to come in the house. Now you want to be a mother. It's far too late for that. You must be somebody's mother before somebody asks you for your hand. You must be able to run your household without a man. A man adds to your life. He doesn't make your life complete. He adds to your already good thing. So why are we producing so many hussies out here and not real bona fide women that are ready for marriage? Because somebody didn't take child development 101. They don't know what it is to be a parent or a mother. Then why are so many children in the foster care system and mothers are having children taken away? Because they're still children themselves, trying to rear children, and they need to be in classes. And the churches, I'm going to hold you responsible. Don't you teach another Bible lesson. Don't you teach another Paul lineage version until you start teaching child development 101 in these churches. You are wasting people's time with this Bible and mesmerizing them with the stories after stories that has nothing to do with their livelihood. You can make millionaires out of these women by training them to go after contracted work and by training them to have skills in their home so that they can give you the tithes you deserve. If you train them to have entrepreneurships and businesses, but you cannot continue to give them this lukewarm, watered-down version of the Bible that's incomplete and then think they're going to grow up to be something better. If they were, by now you would have some masterminds growing up and coming out of these churches. But instead, you have failure after failure. We must measure your skill and your production of what you're producing in these churches. And if you're going to take us people time every Sunday, you darn sure well better be teaching them something better than Luke, Peter, and Paul, who might not have even written those scriptures at all. Yeah, you're probably going to be mad at me, but I don't care. I'm a minister too. And I study, and I know that some of the Bible has been questionable, and you ought to question it too. Because if it was so good for the goose, it would be good for the gander. And then we wouldn't have a problem with value system in our black communities having broken down, torn down values. The values would be the first thing to stand up. I don't care how high they can jump and shout and how much Holy Ghost they can get until they can rear a child properly to be a genius, then we've said nothing in these churches. It's very valuable that we should come to the conclusion that if we're going to pay a shepherd to lead us, he darn sure well better be leading us somewhere and teaching us something. Now, churches are getting grants and funding, and they're getting all types of after-school program money, but we don't see the production of these people and children that they should be rendering out of these programs. And you know what? Take your membership back if they're not able to produce the type of work you want to see. Revoke your membership, because it is a membership. I join organizations for political reasons. If they cannot serve me politically, I will see you much later. Because we need a political movement for values that have to come forward in our families, and they must be seen in the women first. Because without the values being changed with the women, we have a society that's gone bad. It's bad enough that the men are going away in prison. We must do something to maintain a standard with the women, because eventually they will come home again. And if the woman is turned out and corrupted, you have nothing but turned out and corrupted households. It's very valuable that we should do something different, Obama, to help these women. Issue a decree that they're no longer paid welfare or SNAP, but they're paid a salary for being stay-at-home legitimate mothers who are enrolled in child development to get some of these credentials that I have to give them a license to be a parent. I don't only want to give you a license to preach, but I want to give you a license to be a parent. One thing I do know, I was raised right, and I was given the skills that it was needed to go into child development to be the best practical teacher of child development, because I had it practiced in my home. So I knew it would be an easy degree to get because these things were reinforced in my home. Now, I'm trying to reinforce them in your home, and the way that I can do that is going to have to be with the ministers teaming up with people like child development specialists who could come in and show them the path to take for these women to become bona fide, credentialed, certified family life educators. Every woman should have that credential under their belt. I want to give it to you. Call me up. I want to show you how to get it. Because the credentials I've had allowed me to impart that knowledge to many women in many states, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Illinois, now Indiana, because it's my duty to pass on that skill for womanhood so that they will be able to lift up a standard of values in their homes. You cannot begin to teach parents after these children have failed in school. You have to start when they have infants and toddlers and train those parents the way that they should train up the child. We can no longer continue to teach imbeciles in a classroom with every other child in special ed needing a special remediation. Well, the remediation should start in the womb. Right there as the mother is pregnant, she gets the training classes, or she gets no funds, or she gets no salary. You put her in class now, and you make her go back to school for parenting school before that child is born. And then when that child is born, she has the tools she needs to rear that child up in the way that he should go so he will not stray from it when he gets older. So why are we looking at a system of failure on TV all day long, relationship problems,